The opinions expressed in the Continuation Podcast are individual and are not necessarily representative of Spirit Live or Toronto Metropolitan University. Thank you for listening. What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Continuation Podcast, another installment of the Continuation Podcast. This is episode number 10 in total. It's the fourth episode of this season. So welcome back, everybody. I hope all my lovely listeners had a great week, are enjoying the basketball that's been going on the last few weeks in NBA, NCAA, both women and men's, and any other basketball that you might be watching. With that said, let's jump right into things, as we always do, with our week in review. We're going to start off with the NBA. So the week we're reviewing is last week. I'm currently recording this episode on Sunday, March 13th. No, definitely not the 13th. It is Sunday, March 11th, or pardon me, the 10th. That took me a while. But this is for the week prior. So starting off with Monday, March 4th, the game I wanted to highlight was the LA Lakers beating the Oklahoma City Thunder in LA, 116-104. Now, this was a great game to watch. I watched it. The Lakers played an outstanding defensive game and proven that they're, despite their rankings in the standings as a play-in team, they're one of the toughest matchups in the league for quite a few top teams. I mean, they're giving Minnesota a hard time, even Denver, and then the teams in the East as well. So they're a good team, you know what I mean? Like, they got LeBron. Anthony Davis is always big trouble in the paint. They're physical. They got Austin Reeves. When he's on, they're great. And when D'Angelo Russell's on, they're even better. And they got a pretty deep bench. So in this game, speaking of D'Angelo Russell, he pretty much closed out the game for LA. He had a huge fourth quarter in total over the game, though. He had 26 points, 6 boards, 3 assists, and 4 steals. Quite a stat line for him. Anthony Davis, the brow, he had 24 points, 12 rebounds. LeBron James had 19 points, 11 rebounds, 8 assists, almost a triple-double for the King. And then Taron Prince off the bench had 14 points. And he's a very underrated player, I think, in the NBA. He can fill it up quick if he gets a lot of shots. So for him to be coming off the bench and getting 14 points is huge for LA. OKC, on the other hand, they didn't pull out this one. Like, they're still a young team, but they shot absolutely terrible in this game. Just nothing was falling. Compared to what they're used to. They shot 39% from the field as a team and 38% from three. 3 points, not that terrible, but it's not good by any means. And then Shai Gilgeous, shout out Canadian, he had a rough game. He was held to 20 points, which doesn't happen often, and Chet Holmgren was held to 15 points. Chet was actually 2-for-6 from three, so just a rough shooting night. You know, when their top guys aren't going, it's tough for OKC to win, but good game for LA, and great game, great outstanding game for D'Angelo Russell, man. He's been in the league for a while. Moving on to Tuesday, March 5th, the Phoenix Suns upset the Denver Nuggets 117-107. This was a good game as well. I didn't watch it, but very good game. KD popped off for the Suns. KD and someone else on the Suns that nobody would have guessed, or that I wouldn't have guessed. We'll talk about that in a second. Sorry, I'm a little bit sick, everyone. Sorry if I sound a bit stuffy. So KD in this one had 35 points, 8 rebounds, and 5 assists. And then the other front runner in points for the Phoenix Suns was Grayson Allen, former Duke Blue Devil, one of the more controversial players, I would say. But now he's kind of calmed down over the last few years, and it's just stuck to hooping. Grayson Allen had 28 points in this one, ladies and gentlemen, and everybody else. He had 3 steals and was 8-for-12 from the three-point line. That is ridiculous. He absolutely popped. I'm pretty sure he had like 4 threes in the first quarter, set a franchise record. So shout out to him. Great game by the Suns, and they were just filling it up. When you look at Denver, on the other hand, Murray, Jokic, and Porter were all had just over 20 points, but their bench pretty much let them down. They only got 16 points off the bench, even though they had a short bench with only 4 subs. 16 points just isn't enough from your second unit to pull out a win. Okay, that's for Tuesday. Moving on to Wednesday, March 6th, the Warriors absolutely smoked the Milwaukee Bucks in San Francisco, 125-90. Curry popped off in this one. He had 29 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, and shot 60% from the three-point line. Jonathan Kuminga had 20 points. And then Trayce Jackson-Davis, former Indiana player in last year's March Madness, rookie this year, had 15 points and was 7-for-8 from the field. Very efficient game by the former Indiana player, Indiana big man. Giannis and the Bucks. Giannis had 23 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists. Dame had 20 points, 6 assists. And Bobby Portis, crazy eyes, had 20 points off the bench. So shout out to him. But the thing that I've talked about the Bucks, and in this one it's kind of proven it, is their perimeter defense. You know, you play a guard-heavy team. Obviously, they got some of the best players, or one of the best players in the league, in Steph Curry. But you play a guard-heavy team that can shoot and fill it up, and you don't have any perimeter defense, you're not really going to be able to stand a chance. You know, obviously, there's some games that are different, but the Bucks' lack of perimeter defense is a big, big problem and a big worry I have of them going into the playoffs, especially with the some guards teams in the East have. You look at Philly with, like, Tyrese Maxey. You look at even Orlando's got some guards. Paulo plays, like, the five, but, like, they got Jalen Suggs who can fill it up. We look at Cleveland with Donovan Mitchell, Darius Garland. Like, it's going to be tough for Milwaukee to beat these teams if they don't have perimeter defense. So just a thought after this game. But shout-out to Golden State. Shout-out to Curry for a big game and a big win at home. Okay, moving on to the last game I wanted to highlight. Thursday, not much went on, so we're going to jump straight to Friday. Friday, March 8th, the Cavs beat the Timberwolves in overtime, 113-104. The Timberwolves still being, as of right now, one of the best teams in the NBA, top of the West. And the Cavs, one of the better teams as well, as they're sitting at the second or third seed right now in the East. The Cavs pulled it out in overtime. Jared Allen had a huge game in this one. He had 33 points, 18 rebounds. And then Darius Garland, their guard, had 34 points and 8 assists. And then Caris LeVert, for them, former Brooklyn Net, had 15 points off the bench. We look at the other side, the Timberwolves, and Naz Reid had the most for them. He had 34 points off the bench. Again, he's not really a bench player. He pretty much comes in with a few minutes, after a few minutes of the game starting, but still impressive for him. And then Anthony Edwards just struggled in this one. He had 19 points, shot 25% from the field. He took like 27 shots. He was like 7-for-27, which is tough. Again, you live and die with your best players. I think Anthony Edwards just had an off night and it showed. But even with that said, Anthony Edwards, your best player, has an off night. You got Naz Reid going 34 off the bench. Cat getting his 20 plus, his normal 20 plus. And they barely beat one of the best teams in the East. So not a terrible sign for the Timberwolves, but this was a great game and a great win for the Cavs. Okay, so there's not really much else to mention throughout the week. That's going to do it for the NBA. Let's transfer things over and briefly talk about the NCAA. We're keeping things relatively short today. I've just been busy with schoolwork and extracurricular and my actual work. So we're keeping things relatively short today. So we're gonna, with that said, we're going to jump to the NCAA. Like I said, I'm recording this on Sunday, March 10th. And the conference tournaments are taking place this week. Which I'm very excited to watch and see what happens. And then Selection Sunday is exactly 1 week away. The next episode I'll be recording directly after Selection Sunday, which will be super, super exciting to see what teams get in. By that time, we'll already know, based on the conference tournament champions, who's getting in. But for those teams that maybe had tough conference tournaments and such, we'll see who's going to go dancing and who's not. Okay. Let's talk about the men's side of things first. So we're in our AP Top 25, and even in the coaches poll, we still got number one Houston. Houston as the number one team. Then we got UConn as second ranked, Purdue as third ranked, North Carolina as fourth ranked, and then Tennessee as the fifth ranked. You know, I'm going to be building my brackets this week, and I have to say I do got a lot of research to do before I state my opinion and make my picks right now. But I can't not give you guys something, a little hint of what I'm thinking of picking. If I had to choose a winner right now, I'd probably take a shot in the dark at Tennessee. Tennessee's a very good team. They've given they've given teams like North Carolina tough times in some big games. They've given UConn a tough time in some big games. Weren't able to pull it out, but the big dance is all about being able to play defense and having some guards, and they have that. Tennessee has always had that. So I like them, and I like UNC. You know, we got Armando Bacot, their center, who's been there for, I think this is his third or fourth year. He's looking to make a statement. So I think they could be good. They could have a pretty deep run. Same thing. They got RJ Davis, too, who's an experienced guard. That always helps in the tournament. So If I had to pick right now, yeah, it'd be Tennessee and UNC, depending on the bracket. But yeah, so that's for the men's side of things. Let's move on over to the women's side. The top five include the still undefeated South Carolina at number one. Then we got Iowa, who jumped to number two spot. They jumped quite a few spots. They were outside the top five last time we talked about them last week. So they're in second, Iowa. Third ranked is University of Southern California. And then fourth ranked is Stanford. And fifth ranked is Texas. So I'm also going to be building my bracket for the women's side, of course. I did one last year and it was super fun, so I'm going to be doing it again. Very tough not to pick South Carolina, especially the way that they've handled top teams this year. You know, we're looking forward to a good SEC matchup, likely in the final of the SEC tournament with them against LSU. So we'll see how that goes if they remain undefeated. But they're a good team, and they know how to close out games, and they stay calm in situations. And they got players that can hit some big shots. I'll talk about it later in the Dunk and Flunk segment. But they squeak past Tennessee, who is a ranked team. I think they're ninth ranked or something like that, I believe. But they squeak past Tennessee in a buzzer beater game, and they just stay calm in big moments. And I think it'd be tough not to pick South Carolina. I'm preaching. I always love an undefeated season. I'd love to see that. So it's very unlikely, but I think they could. They have a good chance of getting it done. So that's gonna do it for the week in review. That's gonna do it for the NCAA. With that said, we still got two more segments to get through. So I'll be right back. Okay, let's keep things moving forward. Let's keep things continuing on this continuation podcast. No pun intended. Moving on to our Dunk and Flunk segment. As always, let's start things off with the dunk of the week. This week's dunk is going to have to be Duke men's basketball recruiting. Oh my goodness. Duke has landed their fourth five-star commit. Verbal commit. Well, this one's actually a signed commit. Common Mulach, hopefully I said that right, definitely didn't. For next season, they landed him this week. He's a five-star center, currently dominating the high school circuit. Like I said, this is their fourth five-star on the roster that they've committed to. The other three include Cooper Flagg, who's the number one player in the nation right now, playing for Montverde, then Isaiah Evans, and Con Newple. You know, this is shaping up to be one of the most dominant teams college basketball has seen in a long time, and it's really exciting for me. As much as I despise Duke, seeing this many five stars go to a team and basically follow Cooper Flagg, I would say, is very cool to watch and see. And, you know, they got guys like Jared McCain on this year's roster. It'll be interesting to see if they declare for the draft or stay and see what they can do with this incoming five-star class, literally five-star class. But like I said, this reminds me of other dominant college basketball teams. The one that jumps into my mind is the Kentucky 2014-2015 team. You know, you had Booker, Karl-Anthony Towns. They had the Harrison twins too, I think. Like, that team was so dominant, so many five stars. And yeah, so that's what it reminds me of. But that's going to be the dunk. Shout out to Duke men's recruiting. As much as I hate the team, they're doing a great job. And they could have a good chance for the title next year, especially with all that talent. So that's going to be the dunk of the week. Let's move things on to the flunk of the week. This week's flunk, briefly mentioned it earlier. On Saturday, March 9th, South Carolina, the women's basketball, squeaked past the Tennessee Volunteers thanks to a game-winning buzzer beater by 6'7 center Camila Cardoso. Now, the reason I had this as a flunk is definitely not because of South Carolina. Shout out to them. Camila hit an unbelievable shot. Won it in late. Like I said, in late game situations, that team is just so calm, so experienced, especially for a team that's undefeated. It's like they don't feel any pressure at all. My flunk is with the Tennessee Volunteers coaching staff and with their team. The reason being, because this was a terribly handled late game situation. Tennessee was up two with about 2 seconds left. And what they did was they were so persistent or so keen on watching the guards. They completely let Camila pop out to the three-point line, legitimately untouched and unguarded. She had no one within 10 feet of her and was able to get a wide-open three from the center of the three-point line, the head-on three, and she banks it in for the win, to win by one. All Tennessee had to do was not give up the three, and they're going to OT and have a better chance of beating South Carolina. But instead, they give up a wide-open three. And no, it doesn't matter if it's a center. We know in today's basketball, pretty much everybody can shoot, men or women's. Everybody, you give them an open shot, they got a good chance of hitting it. So I thought this was a flunk because Tennessee handled this awfully. I mean, all you have to do is either foul, make them hit two free throws to tie, or a one-on-one, depending on the situation. I'm not sure if it was bonus plus. I'd assume it was. Or you just take away the three. I can't really understand that. I believe it was in Tennessee, too. The rule my dad talks about and a lot of coaches talk about is you go for the tie at home, you go for the win on the road. South Carolina went for the win, but I thought they should have never had that opportunity. So that's what I wanted to say about that. As much as it would have been awesome to see South Carolina not go undefeated, they still are. And shout out to them again. Very big shot, big time moment by Camila Cardoso. She's a great center. So that's going to be the flunk of the week. All right, let's move things on to the next segment. All right, time for the final and most profitable segment of the Continuation Podcast. We have our betting segment. Okay, ladies, gentlemen, and anybody else, I have my record from the first episode. It finally came back. I know what I'm at, and let me say, it's not pretty, unfortunately. So currently my record is 2 wins and 3 losses on the segment this year for this installment. I got to get back. I got to get my get back. I mean, 2-3 is not a good start. Again, I am picking underdog picks, but still, I should know better. I should have done better. Rough start, but not to say we can't bring it back up. And it's going to start with the second episode picks. Hopefully I picked well there. But we're going to keep things moving on. The picks we are choosing in this week's episode are for the week that this episode will come out. So that's going to be for Monday, March 25th, the week of Monday, March 25th. Let's get things started. On Monday, March 25th, I have the San Antonio Spurs to cover against the Phoenix Suns. This game is in San Antonio. I think the Spurs can get it done. Wemby can pop off. So not really anybody in the league that can guard him. So if he pops off and his bench gives him some support, I think they could squeak past an inconsistent Suns team. Moving on to Tuesday, March 26th, I have the Dallas Mavericks to beat Sacramento in Sacramento. This is a little bit of a shot in the dark, but I think it could definitely happen. Luka could pop off. Luka and Kyrie go, and they get some support and some defense from their bench. I think they could beat Sacramento, but Sacramento is a very deep team. I understand that. Sabonis has been playing great lately. De'Aaron Fox is always a problem, but you never know. Wednesday, March 27th, I have the Clippers to cover the spread against the 76ers. This game is in Philly. Again, the 76ers are still without Joel Embiid, although they're not doing too bad without him. Obviously would be better with him. But I feel like Clippers are going to be favored in this one, even though it's in Philadelphia. But I think the Clippers are going to get it done, cover the spread with a strong game from Kawhi. He's played good against those Sixers, as we know, as Toronto fans. Moving on to Thursday, March 28th, I have the New Orleans Pelicans to cover the spread against the Bucks. I believe this game is in Milwaukee. Bucks, again, kind of inconsistent. Perimeter defense is skeptical. I think CJ McCollum could pop off for the Pelicans in this one. And I think they're going to cover or beat the Bucks. And our final pick for this week, Friday, March 29th, I have the Oklahoma City Thunder to cover against the Suns. This game is in Phoenix. I believe the Suns should be favored a little bit. If not, OKC will be favored by a small margin. It'll be close. But I think OKC is going to get it done. When they're not playing a super strong defensive team like the Suns, they can kind of keep up with scoring and play their run-and-gun basketball. And I think they'll get this win done. And I think Shea's going to pop off in this one. I don't think anybody can hang with him on the Suns. So that's going to do it. So that's going to do it for the betting segment. That's going to do it for the entire episode, everybody. As always, thank you so much for listening. I appreciate you guys tuning in every week. Next episode is going to be very exciting. We're going to be talking about March Madness, which is my favorite time of year. So I'm going to be very passionate about that. I'll show you my brackets and my picks for both the men and women side of things. And then we'll talk about some NBA as we inch closer to the playoffs. Once again, thank you all very much. I hope you all have a great rest of the week. And as always, keep on hooping.